Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to listen to the full Burke Show every day, uninterrupted, with no ads? Become a bonus Burke Show subscriber. Find out more at theburkeshow.com/bonusbs.
The Burke Show.
So a friend of mine had what he believed to be a near-death experience over the weekend because he was drugged so bad, he doesn't remember like 15 hours of his life.
Oh, God. 15 hours?
15 hours.
That's a hell of a lead right there. What happened?
So it's scary situation because it's kind of similar to what happened to me once, but I think his was worse than mine. But he said, like a lot of the stories I've heard, he was out. He was at a place he goes to all the time. He's never had an issue there. But he had one drink, which that's the part that I guess is always kind of a sign that you know something went terribly wrong.
So is it a bar? Is it a restaurant? Is it a club?
It's like a lounge slash restaurant type of place. And he has like his own little section and he was there by himself. And fortunately for him, he ran into someone he knew. And it was a friend of his from a long time ago. She happened to be there with one of her girlfriends and they sat with him in this section. And he says he had his one drink, which he was drinking before they even got there. And all he really remembers is he finished that drink and literally he had to call her to find out what happened. Because he said after that drink, which at that point, it was probably about 3 a.m. And he remembers waking up in his car, like outside. He didn't even drive home. He woke up in his car where it was parked in that parking lot at about 4 p.m. the next day.
Oh, God.
Damn.
And so he ended up, he said he woke up once and he remembers looking at the clock and it was like 1:00 and he tried to get out of his car and he couldn't even like really walk. Like he still was groggy. So he got back in his car and he must have passed out again. So when he woke up the second time, that's when he called his friend that was there and he's like, what the hell happened to me? And then she had to explain to him, I don't know, but you finished that drink and then you started like slurring your words. And they assumed that he must have had a lot to drink and it like caught up with him or something last minute. So they were shocked to find out that he was like, that was my only drink of the night. I had only been there 10 minutes before I ran into y'all. So she said that he was like pretty much really droggy. And then he just passed out in the seat and they had to carry him, like the two of them. And thank God, I guess there was another guy that was there that was willing to help. And the three of them, because he's a big guy, he's not a small guy at all. They had to carry him to his car. They put him in his car. And I guess they just left him in his car. They didn't know what else to do. I don't know why they didn't think to call somebody, but they just figured he was just drunk so that he would wake up and he would go home. But he was out until literally the next afternoon.
So he was there by himself and just happens to see a friend he knows. So had he not seen that friend he knew who came over, whoever slipped him something in his drink, they were obviously trying to do something, but then couldn't because he was with somebody else.
Exactly that. So as we were trying to piece together what we think might have happened, I'm assuming it was a situation where someone probably drugged him and then was anticipating him walking back to his car alone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what they would have tried to do then. I don't know if they would have tried to rob him or what. But I think that's what probably was the plan. And by the grace of God, he just happened to run into somebody he knew.
This is a similar story to what Tiff and I went through in Nashville when we were all up there a couple of years ago, right?
Yep.
Abby, you weren't with the show yet, but yeah, we were all in Nashville. And we went out and we went out drinking and we were dancing one night. And before Tiff and I knew it, and we weren't even drinking heavy, we both just sort of browned out. Like, neither one of us kind of remember going to the elevator. We don't remember going to the hotel room, but I do remember her getting a knock on the door while we were almost both passed out. Remember this?
I do.
And a dude and a girl were there saying, asking Tiffany to come with them because they had her ID or something, and she's all drugged out and didn't quite get it, but her spidey sense, even in that state, is going off, so she doesn't go with them. But we hadn't even had a lot to drink, and we for sure 100% were drugged. And I talked about it on the air, and a whole bunch of people were saying, like, Nashville is, it's happening a lot in Nashville right now. But it's so scary because you have no recollection of anything that happened.
It's super scary. And a similar thing happened to Katie and I once, and it was the same type of deal. We had one drink, and luckily Katie had one of her friends with her who could help us get to the car and could help get me home. But we had one drink, and I don't even remember finishing that drink. All I remember is waking up the next day in my bed. I had no idea how I got home. I couldn't piece in any of that information. So going out and having a drink is scary nowadays, man. You really got to be on your P's and Q's.
I still think it's one of those things also when you tell somebody that they slip something in your drink, they initially don't believe you.
Oh, they're like, yeah.
You just got hammered last night. Nobody slipped you anything. But you know the difference, and it's completely different.
It's not remotely the same. Like, you can't remember anything. And you know when you've had enough drinks to wake up blacked out. Like, it's one drink. It's a scary feeling.
Yeah, and being drunk, you just do stupid things that you might not remember. When you're drugged like that, that's it. That's the end of your night. There's no stupidity about the night. No. There's just passing out and not remembering anything.
It's over.
Yeah.
The Burt Show.
Let me ask you guys about dating here for just one second, right? The anxiety feeling that you get, Abby, I'll direct this towards you because you're the one that's actively dating. Mo is seeing somebody, but you're actively out there every day.
Unfortunately, yes.
The act of dating, like getting ready, do you get nervous or do you get excited before each date? Because I was just talking to a friend of mine who's got a younger friend that is literally paralyzed by fear of going out. And it's a very unique circumstance.
Really?
Yeah.
So for me, it's not so much like an anxiety-inducing experience about like the actual date. For me, I get like pre-anxiety about like, if I don't like this guy, then I have to dump him over text. And what if I'm like too nervous to do it? Then I have to go out with him again. For me, that's the anxiety inducing part.
So you're thinking about the breakup before you've even gone on the first date.
Yeah, I'm a real thrill to be around on dates, clearly. So that's what I get anxious about. I can't remember the last time I was actually excited to go out with someone.
Really?
Though. Yeah, it's kind of sad.
Just because it's happening, because you go out so often and the results aren't what you want.
Yeah, and mostly just because, like, a lot of people overpromise and then underdeliver in their profile.
Uh-huh.
Like, they'll either lie about something or they'll use photos from, like, 7 years ago, and then it just ends up being a disappointing experience.
So expectations are hardly ever met.
I know. That's why I wish I could just meet people out in person, because then you kind of get that out of the way.
Mm-hmm. So let me tell you about this dude that my friend John knows. 28 years old. I don't know this dude, so some of the details I'm making up here, but as it was told to me, dude's a good-looking guy. I mean, he's got game. Riz. He's got the Riz. He's got attitude. He doesn't have a problem talking to women when they are out socially. So these guys go out. They're having drinks. He's, I wouldn't say the life of the party, but he certainly isn't a bummer either, right? Okay. No problems whatsoever. So he does so well for himself. I mean, he's a good-looking guy with a good sense of humor and all. He'll hook up quite often. No problem. But he has a paralyzing fear of actually going out on a date. So these never turn into dates because it has turned into a phobia for him. So if he hooks up or they exchange numbers or Instagram or whatever it is, he'll take it to the point where they're going to set up a date and then just disappears because the fear of going out, spending time, having to impress or whatever is paralyzing for him.
So just like having to have a conversation with a girl is nerve-wracking for him?
I don't know. I'm not a psychologist, but it'd be a fun one to like try to bat around here a little bit. I don't know if it's a real fear of like intimacy. Even though he hooks up with people, it's still, you know.
So he can have the initial conversation. So yeah. He's having conversation with women whenever he's out enough to like hook up or to get to the point where he meets somebody. He can do the small talk.
Mm-hmm.
He can woo them. And he gets digits or socials or whatever.
He can do the one night stand like nobody else. No problem. But that second one.
But when it comes to actually going on a real date, he panics.
Paralyzed with fear is what he said. Yeah. Like, I cannot set up the date. I cannot call. The thought of meeting somebody at a bar one-on-one is so anxious-inducing for him, he doesn't even approach it.
It definitely sounds like it's tied into something deeper.
No, it has
clearly,
to be.
Right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's hard to figure out why someone would feel that way without knowing exactly what it would be that he's so afraid of.
I don't know that I've ever talked about this on the show before, but I went through a period about, I don't know, for 6 or 7 months when I was like 21 or 22 years old when I was dating, that I was throwing up before every date.
Oh my gosh.
Throwing up?
For about 6 or 7 months. I got so nervous and got so in my head, and the fear of having to impress, that's the part of this I attached to, was so much that I used to get sick before every single date.
Maybe that's the difference between men and women when you go out, because for me, every time I go out on a date, I just want to see if I like them, if we're going to get along. I'm not thinking like I need to impress this guy in any way. Like, he should just be happy he's out with me. So maybe it's just like flipping the mindset, because I could get that. Like, if you're nervous about showing who you really are and like sharing like your personality and your things that you're into, and somebody rejects you because of that, that's like a valid fear.
I mean, it was a depth of insecurity, honestly, that for 7 months I just couldn't get over.
What made it stop?
It never stopped me from going on dates. I'm like, I'm not going to stay home tonight. I'm going on this date. I just know I'm throwing up before I leave the apartment.
Just wipe the vomit crossed up your lips, head out. So
it would be sometimes when we were at a restaurant, we were eating, and it'd be in the middle of the meal. Then I'd have to go to the bathroom and throw up. I swear to you guys, dang, for about 7 months.
But what made it, what finally after 7 months, like flips the switch?
Honestly, I think it was just the grit of going out and not allowing it to debilitate me enough. Like, I wasn't going out, that I feel like I just sort of got over the fear of it just by doing it over and over and over again.
So exposure therapy?
Sort of. Vomit therapy. I would not recommend it.
It's not sexy.
Not sexy. Not sexy. I used to carry around a lot of mouthwash.
Oh, God.
A lot of Tic Tacs, man.
Well, if your friend is hot and he wants to get over his fear of dating, tell him, I'll show him a good time.
Okay, good.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Private emails between Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie have leaked, and we've got them for you now. I don't know if this is ethical, but we're going to read them anyway.
Okay.
Basically, Brad and Angelina, they are in the middle of this legal battle, and Vanity Fair did this whole expose of them splitting up Miraval, which is their estate in the south of France, and of course, it involves their wines of the same name.
Yeah, so if Mo and Bert don't know, Miraval is a very, very popular rosé. So this you didn't know that was the same
one? No,
wine?
I just Googled it. I drink it all the time. Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah, it's in my wine cabinet right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, it's an excellent rosé. So they bought this place, and it was going to be like an escape or whatever. And then there's like olive oil and something else, and then the rosé. And the rosé has blown up, and it makes so much money. So it's become a very contentious battle for this vineyard in France.
Yeah, I mean, they need to fight over it because, I mean, how are they going to eat if they don't win the court case here? So they both own it together, and they're fighting over who owns it now?
Yeah, and it's also where they got married. Like,
yeah.
What was the one with the Russian oligarch that got like involved in it? It's been a mess.
I would imagine, though, like, as a guy that has gone through divorce and knowing how draining it is, I just wanted to get out of the process of divorce as quickly as the legal process of it, because it's just so, dudes, it is on your mind all the time, right? So when she's worth $1 billion and he's worth $1 billion, if it were me and my mindset, I'd go, take it. Whatever you're going to make on it, I'm going to be just fine. Because the drain is way worse than the money you're going to lose.
Or if you already have all that money and it's making all this money, why they can't just split it?
My thing is, why don't you just put it in the kids' names?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Nah, they ain't earned that.
I got more of a problem with that.
Now I feel away.
In case you're curious, Brad Pitt, according to Dr. Google, is worth $400 million and makes a minimum of $20 million per picture.
Right.
And Angelina is only worth $120 million, so she's poor. And then he bought the estate for like $28 million back in 2008. Just give it to her. But at that point, I think you're digging in your heels and ego isn't going to let you give it up.
I'm not even saying saying give it to her. I'm saying let her purchase it for a much cheaper price just to get it off of your mental plate.
There is no way I'm buying an estate that you bought while we were together and we were co-involved with.
Well, that's why you make $100 million mm-hmm. and Brad Pitt makes $400 million, Angelina.
Listen, I'm prettier, okay?
Right, let's get to these emails.
Well, let's get to the good stuff. So it's getting contentious because Angelina cites in these emails to Brad that she believes that purchasing Miraval was actually the beginning of the end of their family. It's so sad. Entertainment Tonight speculated that these emails are referencing a domestic dispute that happened on their private jet. Apparently Brad got too drunk and got kind of violent with her and the kids. I won't go into details because it's pretty nauseating, but that's kind of like the glossed over version. And so Angelina, that's when she filed for divorce. And when she sent these emails talking about Miraval, this is what she said. She said, Miraval is the place where we brought the twins home to, where we were married over a plaque in my mother's memory, a place where I thought I would grow old. But it's also the place that marks the beginning of the end of our family. Miraval died for me in September 2016, which is when the plane incident happened. And everything I've seen in the years since have sadly confirm that. So that's why she wants to start to sell this, because she wants to be done with it.
All right. I just want to give you guys a little peek into my mindset this morning. And I don't know if you feel the same way, Kristen, but this happens every single time. So yesterday I went to go visit one of our Burt's Big Adventure kids in the hospital. Kristen did it the day before, right?
Yeah.
And she's been in the hospital on and off now for months and months and months.
I mean, she's spent over 40 days in the hospital this year alone.
Oh my God. So with that mindset, with this story, I just have a really hard time like attaching any kind of empathy to a story like this. Two A-list celebrities battling over their winery when one is worth $400 million and the other one is worth $100
million. Yeah, I know. It's
all relative.
I know it is. It just feels so trite after a day like that. I'll be back to normal tomorrow. Maybe even by 7.
Got
to
give you 24 hours.
Yeah, just give me another half an hour. But it just seems so trite,
so
man.
She wants to sell it because of how it's marred.
Yeah.
Miraval is marred, and Brad does not.
He's keeping his stakes, but I believe the reason why she had to like vocalize it is because he has the right in their contract to purchase her stakes. So she's like, I'm getting rid of it. I don't think she I mean, she's like, you can buy it if you want from me, but like, I want to let you know that this is why I'm getting rid of it. So if you can't relate to the money part, because yeah, these people are stupid rich, it is sad if this really was the beginning of the end of their family. A brand new song from the Beatles is coming out later this year, and it's going to involve all the band members. That's right, all of them. I'll tell you how on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
We call today Follow-Up Thursday, where we give you guys some closure on things that have happened on the show over the course of the last couple of months. And we will give you an update on the girl that went to the wedding with her ex-boyfriend, even though she had a current boyfriend, here in just a couple of seconds, but under the same umbrella of closure. It turned out to be one of the most divisive debates we have ever had on The Burt Show before. Split us in half. Is lemonade a juice or not? And I didn't realize what the out-of-show repercussions have been until we were all just talking about it off mic. Cassie was out that day and wanted to drive into the radio station and just do one segment with us, debating it, and then leave.
Yeah, I was sick, and yet I still listened, and I saw that, and I was like, lemonade is absolutely not a juice. And it took I was talking to my husband, and he's like, you're home from work, you're sick, go to sleep. And I'm like, but lemonade is not a juice. It's not.
And then there were repercussions in your home, too, with your husband, who's just condescending.
Yeah, so I wasn't even feeling well, so I was in bed, and my husband came up, and he was standing there, and he goes, I can't believe I married you. And I'm just laying there. I'm laying there in bed, and I'm waiting for like, okay, because that's the setup. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, I can't believe I married a woman who thinks lemonade is a juice.
He was so disappointed. Like, he was almost appalled. And then he just shook his head and turned around and walked out the room.
I thought we would talk about that for 14 seconds and move on to something else. It got heated. All right, also on Follow-Up Thursday, let's try to get you guys some closure here also, because it was Leticia that emailed us and reminded us about this. Hey, Burt Show fam, Been about 2 years since you did the texting tutor, where a woman needed your help telling her boyfriend she was going to be going to a wedding with an ex. They did go to the wedding, and she caught feelings for him again. Whatever happened to him? Can you do a follow-up Thursday on him? Well, here we are.
Here we are. So Jamie was invited to attend a wedding with her ex-boyfriend Kyle. She was already dating a new guy. We helped her ask her current boyfriend for permission to attend the wedding via texting tutor. She did attend the wedding, and as expected, all of her old feelings for her ex came rushing back. Ultimately, she ditched the guy she was dating to reconnect with her ex. Kyle was open to trying again, but he asked her to give him a year to get his life together without pressure. She originally broke up with him because he wasn't ready to propose. It's been well over a year that the two officially get back together.
Kyle and I did give our relationship another shot. We genuinely tried to make it work, and I made a conscious effort to be patient and not pressure him about marriage. After a few months, I found myself struggling with the same feelings of frustration and impatience. I couldn't suppress those emotions, and it caused a lot of tension and resentment between us. So, not surprisingly, it ended. As for me, I'm currently single and focusing on myself. It hasn't been easy, and I regularly question if I was the problem. Did I screw it up? Or was I right to be over the waiting game? I recently heard through mutual friends that Kyle has started dating someone new shortly after our breakup. It seems like that relationship is becoming serious. While I genuinely want the best for Kyle, I won't deny the feeling of a bit of sadness and obviously disappointment. The thought of him potentially proposing to this new person stings big time. Hopefully all things happen for a reason and life goes on. I'm keeping an open mind and heart. Who knows what the future holds? Maybe soon I'll find someone who will be eager to solidify a future with me. If or when that person comes along, I pray that I have new patience and perspective to not screw it up. I appreciate you checking in. Take care.
I forgot what comedian it was that said that when it comes to dating exes again, it's a little bit like drinking spoiled milk. Like, you had the milk at one point, right? You left it in the fridge, right? Then you picked it up and you smelled it and you're like, ugh, this is bad, but I'll give it a try. And sure enough, it tastes terrible. And you knew that going into it. And it's the same as dating exes.
Yeah, I mean, she went back all to just leave for the same exact reason she left the first time.
Yeah.
It typically an ex is an ex for a reason.
Is there a selective memory there? Like, for some reason, like, the bad stuff fades away. If it's bad, but it's not, like, horrendous, right? Like, not, like, and the bad stuff, and you can only remember the good times, and you're like, yeah, this will be okay.
I feel like it's just the opposite with me. I remember the terrible times way more than I do the good times, which keeps me away.
That's exactly. That's all I remember. All the bad.
All you remember is her, like, pouring that mac and cheese on your favorite shirt.
Yeah, I almost forgot about that. Yes, on, like, 10 of my favorite shirts.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't gotta worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Burt Show.
All right, so things are supposed to be done in a chronological order when it comes to marriage, right? Like, maybe you get divorced from the person before, you tell your family, and then you get married.
Correct.
In our intern Kiara situation here, the chronological order of things is way messed up.
Yeah, so my cousin. So for context, my family and I are really close. Like my mom's side of the family, we're super close. We always go on vacation together. And the women in our family just, you know, band together. So recently, my cousin got divorced and she's getting married again. But she told a select few people that she's getting married again. And she hasn't told the rest of our family, but she's, well, she told a select few people that she's getting, that she's getting married again, but she hasn't told anyone that she's getting divorced or that she got divorced. Tongue-tied, sorry.
We're going to have to slow this one down. Okay,
so your cousin got married.
Yes.
And for us, for context of the story, she is getting a divorce or got divorced?
She got divorced.
She got divorced.
And now she's getting married again.
But she told family members she's getting married again. And nobody knew that she was divorced.
Yes. And she sent out the save the date via email.
Okay, so everybody gets this email for a save the date for a wedding, and they have no idea that she even got divorced to begin with, and now there's a new man whom she's going to marry.
Yes.
Oh, God, what a great TikTok joke.
So it's in November, and it's a destination wedding in Africa.
Were you one of the people who knew or did not know?
I knew.
Oh, okay.
But speaking for not everyone, but for, like, my family in general, my mom sort of raised her. So she's like, you know, she heard through the grapevine that she was getting married again, and she was like, okay, well, you know, I'm just going to wait until someone confirms it, but she never told her. Mm-hmm. She just said, oh, like she heard from someone else. And then she's godmother to my little sister, so she's not really including my little sister in the wedding planning, and that's what my mom has a problem with.
Oh boy, we have lots of problems here. Okay, so if she was sitting here in studio and she had a mic, I mean, the obvious question would be, why didn't you tell everybody you were divorced in the first place? So why didn't she tell everybody she was divorced in the first place?
So she's a private person, and she said that from what she told me is that she really didn't feel like everyone needed to know. It was sort of like a, oh, you know, when you find out, you find out. But we've seen her a couple times since she got divorced, and she sort of avoided like coming to like our family's house because my sister had a party in April and we were all in town at the same time, and she just wasn't like, she didn't come over. She didn't like do what she normally does and spend time with us. So just in case like someone were to ask her, hey, where's your husband? So it's just like from what she told me, she just didn't want everyone in her business.
So is there like shame and embarrassment that comes along with divorce?
Was there for me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I had to do it somewhat publicly also.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
So, yeah, there is a lot of shame. And yeah, it is embarrassing to have to tell people that it didn't work out. And it would be great if they just didn't ask follow-up questions.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could just say it didn't work out and they let it go, fine. But then you have to get into the conversation every time on why, especially with your close friends. And it just gets exhausting. So I can see a place where you're just like, you know what? I'm so sick of talking about it. I'm just not going to tell anybody.
Well,
right?
If she has everybody's email addresses and can send a save the date to everybody, before that, she could have just sent a, hey, I'm getting divorced. It's a tough subject. I don't want to talk about it.
Have you ever received an email like that?
No, but I'm kind of, I wish I had.
And we're all in a group chat. And like my mom was saying, like we all preach all the time, like, oh, you know, if you're going through something, just let us know and we'll be in the loop. Mm-hmm. But it's sort of like you didn't tell anyone. You called select people to tell them that you're getting married again, but you just didn't make that way for everyone.
Was she expecting the people she told to like play a game of telephone and like spread the word?
I honestly don't. Like, she told me, and I guess the assumption was that I was going to tell my mom, but it's like...
How long has she been divorced?
About 6 months now.
Oh, she's already
married?
Oh, so
it wasn't... Wow, yeah, it wasn't that long.
So here's how I'm feeling about being invited to this wedding, right? So you said it's in Africa.
Yeah.
Which, as a guy that loves to travel...
In November.
I'd go anyway.
Yeah.
But if I was like... If I didn't have the funds to do it, and it was going to take a lot of time to do it, and I was going to attend this wedding all the way in Africa, I'd have feelings about you asking me to go halfway across the world for your wedding when you didn't feel like I was close enough to you to tell me that you got divorced in the first place.
Is and that how your family's feeling?
That's how my mom's feeling. She's like, you didn't tell me. And she's not like upset. She's very happy for her. She's just like more hurt than anything. Because like she's been around for years. Again, like my mom raised her. She was in my mom's wedding. She's a godmother to like my little sister. So it's like, where is the, you know.
Huh.
So if you weren't told that there was a divorce, right, then you get asked to go halfway around the world to attend this wedding with a person that you didn't even know was divorced. Are you going or not?
It depends on who it is for me.
Yeah.
If it's in my immediate family, I probably would feel a way that you didn't tell me. But anybody outside of that, I don't think I would care that you didn't tell me.
If it's somebody in my immediate family, I'm for sure going. If it's somebody that, like, I'm just kind of acquainted with, I knew their husband, yeah, I'll probably at least save that money.
It would be I would have a conversation with her and be like, I'm just really, like, I would just want to know why you felt you couldn't tell and get her side of the story of why she suppressed that information. And then, no, Africa, I'm going.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to the wedding, but I'm going to Africa.
You'd be like, what damn time is the wedding? Okay, maybe I can squeeze that in after my safari. We're just going to have to wait. We'll see.
Yeah. I'm in Cape Town. You're getting married in Johannesburg? Oh. My bad. All right.
The Burt Show.
It is Pride Month. You got some pride, then you should show it right here.
Yeah, we have the Burt Show's Pride Line, and you call it up, and you can highlight somebody in the LGBTQ community.
In honor of Pride Month, the Burt Show wants you to tell everyone who you are proud of in the LGBTQ plus community. Call now, 404-954-1360.
Jennifer from Oakwood. Big old shout out to sons Bo and Patrick.
I am proud of my beau. He is trans, 20 years old, and I am proud of my son, Patrick. He is 16, and he is bisexual, and neither one of them are scared to be themselves in front of people. Neither one of them are scared to educate people, and my children are amazing, and I have never been more proud of anything in my life.
I love a proud mama.
You done good, mama. You done good, baba. And Jennifer from Charleston, shout out to her brother, Jason.
Hi, my name is Jennifer. I'm an ally and sister of my brother, Jason. I just want to say that I'm very proud of my brother. He grew up in a time in the 80s and 90s where being gay wasn't totally accepted, and he handled it with such grace. And he was diagnosed last year with cancer, and he has beat it. Right now he is cancer free and he is living his life, eating healthier, drinking more water, just taking care of himself. And I am super proud of him. I love you, Jason.
So show some pride with your Pride family member. Give us a call, 404-954-1360. Is it 1360? Did
yep.
I get that
yes,
right?
Sir. Yeah, okay. You did.
All right, so War of the Roses yesterday. We didn't get, like, exact closure on the whole thing. We found out dude wasn't messing around, but he was still something shady going on here.
Yeah, so she reached out to us. She and some friends had gone to a restaurant that she and her husband used to frequent. However, they don't have date nights as frequent anymore, if at all. But this was a restaurant that they used to go to and have date nights. She gets there. The server comes up. She sees a ring on her finger. Well, that's her wedding ring for her husband. And she's like, oh, congratulations. And she's like, what are you talking about? She goes, you got married. And the server kind of had, you know, diarrhea dialogue and basically said she had seen her husband in the restaurant with another woman, had assumed the two of them had separated and gotten divorced, and she had gotten remarried. And she's like, nope, still very much married to my husband. So we did War of the Roses to see who this mystery woman was that he was going to their restaurant to. He bit when we sent the promotional email about sending flowers, and he sent them to a woman that was not his wife and basically said, thank you so much for all you do around here. We wouldn't be able to do it without you. And it's sent to a business address. So we're assuming it's a coworker or colleague that has gone above and beyond at the office. So while it wasn't, and it was like the gratitude floral arrangement. So it wasn't like this romantic floral arrangement. He was just showing appreciation for somebody he works with. Granted, we asked his wife, when's the last time your husband sent you flowers? And she's like, I can't even remember when. So he had the opportunity to send flowers to someone, and instead of his wife, he chose a coworker who he appreciates. So Cassie came up with a plan, which apparently she did.
Yeah, because that is not infidelity in and of itself, but passing on sending your wife free flowers is a little bit of a red flag to me. So I said she should send the flowers. She should go out by the bouquet, because we don't actually send flowers, and have it delivered to the house. And when he shows up, it says, she could say, honey, did you send these flowers? They are so sweet. There was no card attached, but I'm really touched. And then see what he says. And if he says, those were supposed to go to Patty at the office, that's weird that it got messed up, you know he's good because he's telling you about Patty at the office and that he wanted to thank her for being a great business manager. But if he says, yes, I ordered those for you, you know he's lying. And then you could whip out the card because we know what he said on the card. Be like, aha, gotcha. Want to explain this?
Aha! Pure evil. So did she take Cassie's idea and run with it? Oh, yeah. Moe's got the email.
I loved Cassie's idea and had every intention of doing it. Unfortunately, with work, I wasn't going to make it home before he was. And I also would not have had time to stop at the store and get myself the bouquet. I thought about it on the way home and what I could do instead. I ended up asking him if he had gotten an offer for free flowers. He didn't say yes at first. He just asked me why. I told him that I had gotten an email from a flower shop and had been offered free flowers if I recommended some other people who may be interested. I told him I was curious if it had worked or if it was just a scam. He didn't answer the question. He just turned it around and asked me if I ordered flowers from the email I had gotten. I told him that I did and that they hadn't arrived yet. He asked who I sent them to. I told him that I sent them to myself because I love sunflowers and there was a bouquet with sunflowers. So I asked him again if he had gotten the email, and he said, yes. He said he also ordered the sunflowers but was hoping it would be a surprise for me.
Uh-oh.
He said they should arrive tomorrow morning. So basically, he lied. I didn't call him on it because I want your take on it. Why would he not send me flowers and then lie and say he did? It all just doesn't make sense.
Cassie, what have you done? What have you
uncovered the
done?
Truth, Bert Weiss. Investigative journalism.
But now we don't know anything else about the infidelity. All we know is he's a stupid husband that didn't send flowers to his wife, and now she's got him painted in a corner, so he has to say he did.
No, he's a lying SOB is what we know. He's a liar. He said that he got her flowers. He could have said, yes, I ordered flowers and sent them to Patty at the office. Like, he could have easily owned up to it and copped up to it, because sending a coworker flowers to thank them for what they've done in the office is not a transgression.
It is if your wife was expecting you to send her free flowers, which is why he probably felt like she asked and cornered him about it.
Bert, you get an offer for free flowers, okay? And you send them to Kristen to thank her for all the work that she's done on this show, or Tracy, or any of the women, Amy, any of the women who work on this show. And Tiffany asks you when you get home, did you get an email for free flowers? I ordered myself some because I love sunflowers. What do you tell her?
That I sent flowers to Kristen or Amy or Cassie or whomever I sent them to.
Exactly, because you have nothing to hide. Right. Because there's nothing sketch about it, and she knows you appreciate the work people in this office do. This is sketchy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But it's not... Okay, so yes. I don't think he... Okay, this is where... I'm actually going to try to come to his defense, WTF. So it's not that he is trying to hide the fact that he sent flowers to a coworker. It's the fact that he's trying to hide the fact that he didn't send flowers to his wife.
Yeah, which is a huge red flag. So why? Why is the case? Unless he felt in that moment, he just panicked about it and said, oh God, of course I should have sent them to her.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think it's like, it could be like you sending flowers to us. There's nothing to it.
Yeah.
He thought he was being like a nice boss or whatever, but now his wife is asking about this email and he's like, oh crap. I shouldn't have sent him to Dana. I should have sent him to my wife. So in that moment, even though he didn't do anything wrong, he's going to be like,
yeah, I sent him to you.
He didn't even answer her question about the email for the free flowers. That's like, I could buy that explanation and it would seem logical. And I think, yes, that could happen. But the fact that he was so sketchy and like danced around whether or not he got the email in the first place. Why? Did you get an email? Like, all these questions, danced around answering it. It just,
First of all, she has a gear that I don't have. I mean, to get that info and know they're lying right in your face at that moment and then put the brakes on it and then email us to get some advice for it. My knee-jerk reaction would have been, look, I got the evidence right here. We're doing this right here, right now, right?
I feel like the answer is in him being defensive.
Yep.
Like the way he was just defensive out the gate with, instead of just answering a question with the why. Well, who'd you send it to? What'd you do? It just felt like it was a bunch of deflecting going on. And I feel like the reason for that is because he knows deep down he's doing something he has no business doing.
All right, Cassie. So since you made this worse, what?
Since I helped you. Let's reframe that.
What is your advice now to her tonight to circle back and tell her that she knows he's been BSing?
So I think there are a couple ways you could play it. You can either just come clean and say, hey, I absolutely know that you sent flowers to so-and-so and this is what was on the card. Or you could play like so-and-so from the office reached out to thank you for the flowers and called the house. That might be a little tougher. But I would just call him out, honestly. If I were her, I would be like, hey, I never got those flowers because we're not sending them. Why don't you follow up with them and see why we didn't get the flowers?
Does this one work on adults like it does my kids? Hey, you've got one chance to answer this honestly. One chance to answer this honestly. Who did you send those flowers to?
Yes, I think that would work.
That would work on me.
Yeah. I honestly, that made me so uncomfortable.
I know, right?
I feel guilty.
I think that's what she's got to do.
I mean, you have to call him out. You can sit with it. You could do more recon if you want. You could extend this and say, I never got the flowers. Where are the flowers? Let him send the flowers and dig a hole deeper. Or you could just cut to the chase and actually have a conversation with
your
husband.
I say at this point, just go with the honest route and go, dude, I know you messed up here. Just let's talk about what's going on here.
Call him out.
No, just show up at the office, wherever that business was, and be like, who's Dana? I need to talk to Dana.
Or that.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
One final Beatles song is coming out, and Paul McCartney says AI helped him create it.
Uh-oh, look at Kristen. Look at Kristen getting to her defensive position right now.
Are you
now.
About to get fired up about a new Beatles song?
Oh, you have no idea. I'm a huge Beatles fan.
So you're excited or you're mad? You seem mad.
I'm going to wait. I'm going to reserve judgment until you tell your story.
But your face is saying and what your body is saying are two different things.
But I am...
I'm a little nervous.
Kristen's over here. She's I'm going to wait as she takes out her, earrings.
Well, you got to remember, the Beatles and Kristen, there's a emotional tie in there with her dad, whose birthday was yesterday or would have been yesterday. Correct. So yes. Here we go.
Yeah. Oh, I would have pushed off the story. I'm sorry.
No. Okay. I am. It seems very, almost kind of kismet that all of this, that this story is coming out at this time. So let's do this.
Nervous now. Okay. So it's a track called Now and Then, which was recorded 2 years before John Lennon's death.
Okay.
So it was recorded in 1979 as a solo piano vocal demo, and that's how they got his vocals. They used AI technology to separate the two and create two different tracks, so they were able to mash it up with other voices and instruments. This actually isn't the first time that they've considered putting this song out. It was considered for a third possible single when they did the Beatles anthology back in 1995. It would have followed two other songs that they created using John's voice. Those were called Freeze a Bird and Real Love.
So this is an actual recording of John Lennon before he was killed.
Yes, in 1979.
Okay, so it's not AI using John Lennon's voice and creating new lyrics. This already existed.
No, they just had to use the same kind of technology to separate the tracks and, mash it all together.
Now, George Harrison is no longer with us either. Mm-hmm. So how are they planning on incorporating him into the song?
You know what? That was not included in the report.
All right.
The song, I thought the song was released a couple of days ago. There was something that came out.
No, I just saw on the rundown that they're coming out with it.
Yeah, I think, because I saw something from Paul McCartney that it's coming, but not that it was out.
I swear to you guys, I heard it the other day.
You heard it the other day?
No, so I think one of the reasons that they've decided to release it now is I think people are actually using AI to make this song, because fans have known that this has been a thing for a while, and you can actually hear the original demo on YouTube. So I think diehard fans have probably used AI to create it. And Paul McCartney's probably why are we letting other people profit on this on YouTube when we could just make it ourselves?
Okay. Right. As long as they just weren't doing how we've heard, I think they have a Frank Sinatra singing a Little John song or something like that.
You do? Yes. And it's really kind of pretty good.
It's actually, it's
kind of fire.
It's kind of fire. It's funny and it's fire. So as long as they just weren't creating something out of thin air, the fact that this track existed prior to his passing, I'm willing to accept.
Okay.
I just don't like this. My thing is, if the person is gone, don't create things that they did not personally create.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know how they would have interpreted and what their artistic take would have been on it. So that's why whenever all the stuff that's in Prince's vault, he didn't release that.
because he didn't want it released.
Mm-hmm.
So don't release it. Mm-hmm. I want to respect dead people's wishes, and I hate when people speak for the dead and saying, oh no, they would have wanted this. No, hell no. You don't know that.
You don't want to be haunted by Prince's ghost.
Nah, that's a mean ghost.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
it's ghost. Tiny, but it's mean.
Yeah, it's a little guy.
That's a punch, though.
Yeah. Okay, if you loved When Harry Met Sally, it might have looked a little bit different had a certain A-lister not turned down this role. So before Billy Crystal was cast, Tom Hanks was actually offered the role. And according to his wife, Rita Wilson, Tom was so happy about getting divorced at the time. He was like, I can't do this role, because if you've never seen the film, mild spoiler, there's a big storyline about the difficulties of divorce. And so Tom's like, I cannot put myself in this character's shoes, because literally I am on cloud nine right now. So even though he loved the script, it actually led him to getting a different role from the same writer, Nora Ephron, Sleepless in Seattle. So good things came from it, you know?
And didn't Sleepless in Seattle also turn into
You've Got Mail.
Yeah. Which was a way less better movie.
Yeah.
Right? But I even think When Harry Met Sally with Tom Hanks would have been the same movie.
I think so, too.
Yeah, but I feel like if it had happened, I don't think we would have gotten Sleepless in Seattle and You've Got Mail.
Right.
You've Got Mail was still cute, you know, because he would have just done it there. Maybe Sleepless in Seattle, but I doubt it. So I feel like it worked out for the best.
Yeah, some fans were kind of sad. We're like, we could have gotten a whole trilogy of, like, Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks movies. But
I wish they would come back together to do another like rom-com movie now. I would love it. But I love old people romantic comedy movies.
We need it. Twitter is facing a $250 million lawsuit, and it's all got to do with some of your favorite music. More on that on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
He's just a really bad kisser. Can he be trained, or is it time to ditch this guy, or should she continue to date him?
You know when they just use a little bit too much tongue and it starts sounding like... Yeah, there ain't coming back from that.
You remember the name?
I would never. I would never shame him publicly, David. No, I'm just kidding. His name is not David.
Same exact thing. Way too much tongue. I mean, it felt like she was licking my face at some point. Yeah, it was way too much tongue.
So I remember the name, but we are syndicated in Lexington, Kentucky, where I was born and raised and grew up and went to college there. And so he is also still there. So I am not going to publicly shame him. But I remember this makeout session on a couch. And I ended up getting a rash on my chin from how much slobber there was.
Oh, ew.
I mean, it was dripping down my chin. It was so disgusting. And you know how slobber stinks? So then afterwards, you smell like slobber. And it's all right underneath your nose, right? So all I can smell is this dude's spit. And I was just like, yeah, no, we're done. Like, there's no coming back from that.
You feel like you're in his mouth.
I ended up getting like this reddish rash on my chin from how much he spit on me.
But if, I mean, that's heinous and you can't come back from that. But if you like this guy a whole bunch, do you think that you could have taught him how to be a better kisser? Or that's just, it's like, I'll never be a good free throw shooter ever, no matter how much I practice.
Yeah, you will. You practice hard enough, you would be a great free throw shooter.
I think there are some people that naturally can do it, some can't.
Okay. Yeah, Shaq practiced for about 20 years. What happened?
So can you be taught to be a better kisser? I think that's what she's asking here, because she likes this guy. Here's the email. There's this guy that I've started seeing, and we've gone on 3 dates so far, and he's genuinely a great person. We click on many levels, and our non-physical chemistry is undeniable. However, there's one not so slight issue. He is, unfortunately, a terrible kisser. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not expecting passionate movie-style kisses. But his skills in that particular department are alarmingly bad. Damn, that's harsh.
That is harsh.
That's alarmingly bad. It's more than just a lack of synchronization or rhythm.
There is a nice rhythm to a good kiss.
Agreed?
For sure.
Yeah. Agreed. It's the complete absence of any skill that's becoming increasingly more of a turnoff. So, Burt Show and fellow Burt Show fans, I've come to you seeking your wisdom. Is it possible to teach a guy to kiss better? I've read some things suggesting gentle guidance can improve a bad kisser, but I'm not sure. I don't want to hurt his feelings or make him feel self-conscious. How would one even approach such a sensitive topic? I'm also curious if this is a potential deal breaker for some of you. Would you feel discouraged if you found yourself needing to coach your partner on how to kiss? Would a lack of skills in the kissing department have you speculating about his abilities in other intimate areas? Do you think being a bad kisser means he will be awful at everything that comes next? Or is it possible for a man to be a subpar kisser but still excel in other aspects of physical intimacy? Please don't interpret this as me being mean or heartless. He's a great guy with many qualities I like, and I'd really love for this to work. I'm just not sure if it's possible. From Amelia.
Mm.
All right, 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. I think guys can be, and I think women can be taught also. And I don't know. Well, yes, there are bad kissers, and there are good kissers. But there's also a style thing, too.
Is it wrong if you ask him while you're making out and you're having like a, you know, a smooch fest, like find a pause and be like, are you enjoying this? And if he says yes, is that also another problem that he thinks it's good?
Who's going to say no in the middle of making out with someone? Like, even if you're not enjoying it, you're probably going to lie and say yes.
Yeah, now that you mention it, it's terrible. Yeah, no, yeah.
What you do after that kiss is you immediately say to him, this is alarmingly bad.
No.
Can't you just tell him how to change? Like, pretend it's like how you like it.
Oh my God, I would take it so personal. I mean.
Well, it is.
I know.
You suck at it.
Yeah, no, exactly. If I was making out with a dude and then he was like, listen, this is bad. Like, I don't know what's going on here.
You don't tell him it's bad. You just like the same way you would direct a guy in the bedroom. Like, this is what I like.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, I think you got to talk more about what you're into rather than what you're doing wrong. Because if you tell him like, oh, I hate it when you slobber all over me, then he's just going to feel like kicked down. Whereas if you're like, ooh, I really like it when you like bite my lip a little bit, then he might start like sucking blood and then we can go from there. But I think it's better to focus on like what's going good. So he just sees it as a challenge to be like, ah, I bite her lip really good. Let me do that more.
Or you can just pull the pretty woman prostitute line and say, I don't kiss. And then you don't have to kiss and you can just get to the other stuff. Problem solved.
I don't think there's any way to not hurt his feelings. I feel like she has to let that go. Like you kind of have to hurt his feelings a little bit to get him to get in the direction of where you need him to go.
Especially if he's this great a guy in every other area. I think you got to tell him somehow, some way. You got to get past this. Jeremy, good morning.
Good morning.
What you got?
Hey, so I was going to go off just what y'all are talking about. Now that I'm thinking about it, my wife might have been passive aggressive about him telling me that I'm not a good kisser, because she would communicate to me saying, hey, I like this, you shouldn't use so much tongue or whatever, but that's just what I like, so that's what I'd go off. And if she wants him to become a better kisser for her, she would have to communicate that.
Yeah, I think that's Abby's point right there, or both your guys' point, is that it's more of a stylish thing than it is you really sucking at this.
So unfortunately, we just made Jeremy realize by this conversation that he was a bad kisser. Yeah. And his wife how to train him how to properly kiss her.
He is texting her right now.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Hi, Cassie. It's that awkward moment where you realize your son is dating your ex's daughter.
I have an acquaintance who has a son who has been out of college for a couple of years. And I caught up with her on the phone and she was telling me a story about how she's met her son's girlfriend and they're very serious and she loves the girlfriend. Like, lovely woman, zero qualms, super respectful. Like, she's so happy for her son. And they're really, really serious. So they all live in the same, like, her family and her son's girlfriend's family live in the same state, so they're not super far apart, but they're hours apart. So over the holiday weekend, a few weekends back, they had a big old barbecue and decided to let the parents meet each other because they're going in the direction of marriage. Like, he's told his mother, I think this is the one. And she's like thrilled. So she's so happy for this barbecue. And she shows up to meet her the girlfriend's parents and sees her college ex-sweetheart. And that's the girlfriend's dad. And she had no idea. And that guy broke her heart. So now she has to deal with the fact that her future daughter-in-law's father is the man who devastated her heart in college.
What are the friggin' odds? Right? And why would the universe do that?
Don't tell me God doesn't have a great sense of humor.
I mean,
best ever.
He just sat back and he's like, watch this, you guys.
I want to see some.
I was like, it kind of makes sense if you think about it. If you and the college sweetheart were, it makes sense that your children might vibe the same way. And so now, like, they played it off. They didn't address it at all. But she wants to know.
The kids don't know?
The kids don't know. And so she's like, I don't know whether or not I should tell my son about our history. And they were, she's like, that happened so far in the past. Like, sure, it crushed me back then. I'm happy now. Like, I got married. I have a lovely family. Like, I don't hate the guy. I don't feel some type of way. Like, it just ended and I was sad. We went different ways. Our lives were going in different directions. It was kind of one of those, like, love stories where your paths just weren't aligned at the same time, and then never thought, when she thought of him again, but never, like, searched him or out or anything like that. So she's like, I don't know whether or not to say anything because it's not going to, I don't want him to dump his girlfriend, obviously. I have no issue with this. But if we're ever going to see the family again, like, I feel like, he should know the truth, but at the same time, that would just make it weird.
It feels weird not to disclose. Mm-hmm. Like, if you run into somebody you know and you pretend like you don't know them, that is awkward and that is weird. And it just seems to me, I wouldn't want to disclose it, but it is what it is, and it feels weird to hide that.
Well, the thing is, her ex hid it, too. Because I think they didn't want to, like, this was the couple's first time hosting both families. So they didn't want to detract from, like, their event and the thing that they had set up to have the families meet each other and make it awkward and weird. Mm-hmm. And she's like, she doesn't know if her ex knew who she was coming into it. Because apparently, I was like, how did you not know? Like, she's like, my ex had the last name, like, Smith or something very common. And the daughter, when she talked to her future daughter-in-law or whatever, it's not like she ever talked about her parents. So she just did, and even if she had, my friend was like, I didn't keep track of what he did for a living and where he ended up. But now she's like, if I tell them, it's weird that I didn't say anything to begin with and pretended like I met them for the first time. But she's like, I didn't want to make it awkward, and I didn't want his wife to feel kind of weird that I was an ex-girlfriend, even though this literally happened like 25, 27, 30 years ago, something like that.
So the kids don't know. So I'm assuming they're significant others. Like, her husband doesn't know that that's her ex-college sweetheart.
She told her husband at the party. She's okay. Like, oh my God, you're not going to believe who that is. Like, pulled him aside. So her husband's fully, fully aware.
Okay.
I don't know if her ex's wife knows.
Gotcha. Oh my God.
You got to rip that Band-Aid off now, because the longer she waits to say something, the worse it's going to get when the truth comes out.
I feel like I would only say something if I was put in a position and had to. Outside of that, I would act like I'd never seen her before in my life.
I thought maybe it was you. You look kind of familiar, but I'm not sure.
She told me that the only reason she didn't say anything is because it was such an important relationship in her life and one of the most defining ones, and the first time she was really ever in love, that literally seeing a ghost of a phase from her past threw her so much she didn't know how to feel about it, because she just couldn't. It's not like the way she described it, she said, it's not like the feelings of love resurfaced, but the memories of what we had resurfaced, and it threw me.
Sure.
And she's like, I don't want that. I don't want to pursue. It's not like I want that again. It's just, I wasn't expecting to see my college heartbreak in front of me at what was supposed to be such a happy moment.
All right, so Abby, you're dating a guy.
Yep.
He's going to be the one, right?
Oh, praise God.
Yes.
It happened.
It has happened. And you're in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Your mom, all right, was college sweethearts with his dad.
Mm-hmm.
Would you want to know?
Absolutely. But that's also because me and my mom have that type of relationship to where it wouldn't be like some kind of weird, like, sabotaging thing where she'd be like, you can't be with him because I actually was with his father back in the day. Mm-hmm. She would just want to let me know, because she's like, oh, actually, by the way, like, back at UF in 1980, me and him were like kicking it. So I'd want her to tell me.
It's the Burt Show.
Hey, the Burt Show.
So today is probably the perfect day that I have been reminded, and Kristen as well, to thank you guys for donating to Burt's Big Adventure. And specifically today, I just want to spend a couple of seconds on our fairy godparent program. Because over the course of the last couple of days, we've had a Burt's Big Adventure kid right down here at Scottish Rite, Abby. And our fairy godparent program is really pretty much designed exactly for this kind of thing. So Abby went on the trip when she was 7 years old. She's 17 now.
Yeah, it was back in 2011. That's the trip she went on.
Yeah. And she hasn't been feeling real great. She's had some complications lately, and she spent a crazy amount of time in the hospital. So we have a fairy godparent program now that any one of our kids from any one of our former trips, they're always family members, that ends up back in the hospital at any time. We have volunteers that go to that hospital room. They hang out. They color with the kids. They play with the kids. Let mom and dad maybe take off and go back home, because in a lot of cases, they've been there for weeks and weeks and weeks, maybe stretch a little bit. So I got to do that with Abby yesterday, and Kristen did it with her the day before, and we kind of volunteered for it. But this program is really, really important.
It's very special, and it's sponsored by Carter's, and these volunteers, they go above and beyond. So anytime any one of our kiddos is in the hospital, there is somebody from the Fairy Godparent Program that stops by, that visits, that brings some kind of activity. I know Molly had purchased the most fantastic art kit. I'm talking about, we had crayons, we had markers, we had colored pencils, we had a giant pad for the color. Abby was over the moon. She was so excited.
I brought a Polaroid camera to her yesterday.
Nice.
Trying to explain what a Polaroid camera is to a 17-year-old is nearly impossible. But watching her try to figure it out and where the film was going to come out was priceless. So for any of you guys that have volunteered or have donated to our Fairy Godparent program, I assure you, and thank you again to Carter's too, that program is really important for the families. It doesn't matter how big a hospital room is at Children's Healthcare, and that place is, I could go on for another 20 minutes about that place. If you got to spend 3 weeks, it doesn't matter how big the room is, it's starting to shrink on you every single day. Yeah.
They were so excited for the Uber Eats gift card.
Yeah, they were.
Oh, so excited. Because like they do breakfast and lunch at the hospital. And you know, yeah, it's cafeteria food, and it's not the best, but it's not the worst. But the fact that they could order something out that they really wanted in the hospital, they were over the moon.
So if you want to help out with the program or you want to volunteer, you can always catch up at Burt's BigAdventure.org. All right, Mo. It went viral the other day, and people were fired up. You can't ask for money back from a GoFundMe, can you? Well,
that's the question. Yes, this story caught legs and went viral because it made people ask the question of, can you ask for your money back after you contribute to a GoFundMe, especially if it's for a sick child, which is where this all started. And it's because of this rapper whose name is Gunplay, and he started a GoFundMe because...
Sounds like a nice enough guy.
Yeah, really nice guy, right? Gunplay.
Mom, Gunplay. Gunplay. Mom.
He started a GoFundMe because he said that one of his kids was sick and he needed some help with their medical bills. And so people contributed and he got the money. He cleared his goal and everything seemed fine.
Do we know what that money figure was, or is it inconsequential?
I don't know exactly, but I know at some point, I believe it was over $10,000. So he made a significant amount of money on it. And then, so his label boss is Rick Ross, another rapper, which you guys have probably heard about. And Rick Ross is in a feud with a guy named DJ Envy. And DJ Envy was making fun of Rick Ross by saying, why would somebody on your label need money to take care of your sick children when you have all of this money that you're constantly showcasing? He should have been able to come to you. So that feud led to Gunplay stepping up and saying, first off, I don't think that you should be commenting on whatever I'm doing with my family. You should probably mind your business and not talk about my children. But then the next day, I don't know if this was a part of Gunplay's plan now to kind of search for clout, because he didn't want people to think he was struggling with money. So he videoed himself gifting Rick Ross a very big chain, a huge chain. And if I'm guessing, the chain probably was at least $20,000. I would estimate.
At minimum.
This is on the heels of asking his fans to give him money for his own child?
Exactly.
Yep. Oh, boy.
So once that video went viral, as you can imagine, there were a lot of people who were pissed off because they felt like, here we are going into our pockets, yes, giving you our hard-earned money for you to help your sick child, but you're now on video giving Rick Ross a chain that costs all of this money. So I guess about half the people who contributed wanted their money back.
Yeah.
And they literally sent him requests to get their money back. So then he responded to these people with a video that, I mean, he's going off. Like, he's upset. He feels like if you contributed that money and now you want it back, regardless of what I did, then you didn't do it from your heart. That was his take. You didn't give from a place of genuinely wanting to help me because it shouldn't matter. But he did give.
But it does matter.
Yes, it does.
I agree. But in his mind, it was like, if you give somebody something and it's from the kindness of your heart, then that's it. It shouldn't matter what they do with it or what happens after that. That's it. But he claims he needed the money and it was separate from the money that he used to get Rick Ross's gift. And he did give everybody their money back, but he cursed them out at the same time to tell them that they were all really bad people.
Now, the thing is, and it sucks that there are people out there who scam, right? And I don't think that this was a scam per se, but when you give somebody money, you have to take responsibility for your choices, and that I, as an educated person, have looked at this dilemma. I have chosen to give money to this person, and then you should kiss that money goodbye because you have given them the money. So do I think they have a leg to stand on as far as getting their money back? No, man. Like, that was your choice to give him money, and now you just have to own up with the mistake you made by choosing to give him money. What I fear is, in the future, it's going to prevent them from giving money to anybody because of what he did.
Yeah, but I do think that I'm assuming, I don't know anything about gunplay, but I'm assuming he's got some credibility with his fans. Like, they trust him. So when he said, I don't have enough money for my sick child, they're like, I help you out, dude. You're such a good dude. Here you go. I trust you, right? So they give you the money, and then they're totally and completely betrayed by that because they've been bamboozled.
I believe that's exactly what his fans feel like, because regardless, even though his name is Gunplay, he does come off as like a nice guy. Believe it or not, he doesn't typically come off as the kind of rapper that would do something like that to his fan base. So I do feel like they think, like, you have built this rapport with us in which we trust you, and that's why he was able to get so much money so quickly. But then to go on a video and showcase you buying a chain for someone that costs that much money, man, days later, I can understand why people want their money back.
Oh, I can understand why they want their money back, yes, too.
Be furious about it, right? But you said he did pay?
He did. He said, I'll give everybody their money back. Everybody who has requested it, I'm willing to give you your money back. I'm not going to hold your money. But then he proceeded to curse them all out for about 5 minutes straight. Okay.
What I want to see is the video of him asking Rick Ross for that chain back.
He's going to need that back.
He's going to need that cash. It's the Burt Show.
Hey, the Burt Show.